Our sermon reading is from Joshua 4, and it's verses 1 through 7. And it says here, as Joshua is talking, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever."
If you are able, please rise and join us in singing our sermon hymn this morning, number 405, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place."
Imagining that you may have a couple questions on your mind this morning. Number one, who is this guy? And number two, why should I bother to listen to him? So let me tell you a story. So there we were gathered in the kitchen on our farmhouse. We're mom and dad across the table, my brother Dean and I, and there at the end of the table was my younger brother David. Okay? Now, the unwritten rule was that the person at the end of the table, because they were closest to the kitchen sink, they would be the ones to fill the water glasses when they became empty. So it must have been a hot day. We must have been baling hay. There must have been a mischievous grin that went around the table, because suddenly we would drink our glasses and hand them to David, and David would run over and fill them. He'd come back only to find another glass to be filled. And this went over and over, and we were gulping our water down and handing them in. And my memory may be wrong, but I think even his mother emptied her glass so she could hand it in and have it refilled. Poor David. So, when you see that patient spirit in David, and when you see that willing servant heart, I want you to know that I was one who helped shape and nurture that spirit within him. It is good to be here with you today. My wife Sandy and I welcome the chance to worship with you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, we invite your spirit here today. We expect to hear from you. Quiet our hearts, open our minds, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there is a pile of stone on the side of the Jordan River. And a young father and his son walk up to it. And the son says, "Father, look at those stones, 12 stones all piled up. What do these stones mean?" And the father begins to tell the story. "See, son, look at that stone. That is our stone. That is our stone. We are from the tribe of Benjamin, and one of our fellow Benjaminites carried that stone. And look, next to it is a stone from Uncle Simeon and from Uncle Reuben." And they began to tell the story. The stones served as a marker, didn't they? A marker for the story of God's great rescue, of God's opening the waters so they could cross the Jordan River. Now, this was not an easy task, you see, for the Jordan was flooded at the time. How many of you drove around town or in the country about two, three weeks ago and looked at the flooded waters? Wasn't it amazing to see the waters come? Now, would you try to cross those rivers and creeks when they're flooded like that? No. No. But that was the task at hand. Joshua was to lead his people across the Jordan River at flood stage. Now, this was a big river. At flood stage, it was a half mile wide. And the task was to lead perhaps 600,000 people across this river. So the priests were to take the Ark of the Covenant, step into the water, and as they stepped in, the waters were to stop. And that's precisely what happened. And then the people came along, and the priests went to the middle and stopped in the middle. The people came and marched and paraded past it. And then there were to be 12 stones picked up. 12 stones from the middle of the river. I wonder, why would you pick up 12 stones from the middle of the river? I mean, really, it's a half mile. I mean, wouldn't any stone do? Why not go to one that was near the shore and pick that one up? I mean, it seems it would do just as well. I believe God wanted them to pick up the stones from the middle of the river because that is the place in which it was the most risk, in the place in which they were the most vulnerable. I believe in verse 10, it says the people hurried through. Why would they hurry? Why would you hurry? Well, guess what? Who knows how long this wall of water is going to stay up, right? Okay, I want to get across before the waters come crashing back? Absolutely. Sometimes God asks us to pick up stones from the middle of the river, to tell of when we were the weakest and the most vulnerable, to tell when we were most dependent on God. So they picked up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. And why did they do that? Well, they did that so that all people on earth would know that the Lord is powerful. These stones were, in the stories that they were told, it was an act of witness. So that all people would know, they would see these stones and people would know and remember that God is powerful. But also, they picked them up so that you might always fear the Lord. That was an act of worship. Worship and witness is what came out of the picking up of these stones and creating a memorial piece. How about the telling of our stories? Because I think stones and stories are synonymous here. When we pick up stones, it's so we can tell the story. So how do our stories create a space for worship, a space for witness? And I wonder what stones you might gather. For you see, it's possible that we would want to choose a pretty stone, right? I mean, who doesn't like a nice decorative stone? Or one that is well polished and pleasing to look at? When we choose our stories, do we choose stories that make us look good? Stories of my victories and my achievements and how things went well? Or do we tell stories of disappointments and discouragement? Maybe those are the stories we kind of skip over. After all, we want people to hear the good side and how things are going, right? Things are wonderful. When we greet one another, how are you doing? Oh, just wonderful, wonderful. Oh, if you only knew. Yeah, yeah. We all have those stones from the middle of the river. And God says, pick them up. He invites us to pick them up. Pick them up from the most unlikely places. Don't ignore and don't overlook the stones that you would rather not pick up. Don't just collect the ones that are most convenient or the prettiest ones. God says, pick up the stones. Pick up your stories from the middle of the river, the most unlikely of places. For you see, Paul writes that of our weaknesses. You know, Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He wanted to be healed, and God said, no. My grace is sufficient. You can trust in God's grace. That is enough. My power is made perfect in weakness. How many of you appreciate being weak? I don't see any hands. How many of you like it when you can't do what you normally did in the past? I think I talked to Paul a little bit ago at the beginning of the service, and he said, you know, it takes a lot longer to do what I used to do, right? Can we relate to that? That it takes longer. But in our weakness, God can receive greater glory. For you see, God works in our weakest moments to create stories for his greatest glory. But I wonder, how is it that you're going to tell your story? For you see, sometimes we can tell our story and we tell of the fear that we have or the frustrations of our week. How many of you have had frustrations this past week? Things did not go well. You about reached your limit. You wanted to pull your hair out. Okay? And so you can tell that story and speak the frustrations. Or you can take their story, the disappointments you had, and frame it with faith. Frame it with faith. For instance, you can say, I had a lousy week, but God saw me through. I had reached the end of my rope, but I found that God is faithful. I don't know where I'm going to turn next, but God's in control. I will trust Him. Can you see the difference that makes? The difference in framing our circumstances with faith. Too often we can look at these lousy stones in the middle of the river, and who in the world would want those stones? God says, pick them up. Include them in your story. But frame it with faith, because God is going to do a great miracle. We read this morning from Psalms 89. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness through all generations. And that's the anthem of the church, isn't it? With our mouths we will proclaim God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. But we have a problem. At times, when given the opportunity to speak, we remain silent. We become tongue-tied. We become afraid that we don't have all the answers. We're not sure what to say. We're afraid of looking foolish. We're caught up in the social norm that says, don't talk about your faith. Keep your faith silent. Don't offend other people. And so we become, at times, reluctant to speak about our faith. We're cautious about who we will talk to about our faith. And in doing so, the stories that we have, the stories of God's faithfulness, they become silenced. There was a reason for picking up those stones. Remember what it was? So all people will know. How can that happen if we become silent? You see, we have a story to tell. It is God's story. And we're concerned about telling our story, but it's really God's story. Did you know that you're connected to the Bible? The story of God began in the beginning, and it continued throughout the Bible. But guess what? The story continued on. It wasn't all recorded in the Bible. But people by faith kept telling the story, kept telling God's story. And through the generations, it has come down to you. You are the ones carrying God's story. I believe our world today is looking for people who are willing to be real and authentic, willing to share their stories, warts and all, willing to share their fears, their questions, the struggles in life. They're not looking for someone who has it all together, not looking for someone who has all the answers. They're looking for real, authentic people who have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord. I believe that many of you know how to share, or know what to say to share the gospel. You could easily break it down into maybe four different things to say. God loves you. He has a heart for you, a relationship for you. Man is sinful. We've broken that relationship. God has provided a cross to mend that relationship, and He promises eternal life forevermore. I think we have the facts in, but you know what the hardest part is? How do you get started? I mean, how do you bring that conversation up? You don't just kind of blurt in, well, do you know what want to know what John 3:16 says? That doesn't always fit into the conversation, right? I believe it begins with story. But before that even, it begins with listening to others. Listening to them share their story. We went to a garage sale Saturday. 127 garage sales. Anyone do that? Oh, yeah, you can find some good bargains. You can walk away and go empty-handed too, I guess. But so we stepped into the garage. You know, they had the tables in there, and the homeowner was listening to a person share their life story. They were talking about an accident, and someone was killed, and the grief and the pain that they were feeling right in the middle of a garage sale. I believe that there are people around us that need to be listened to. They need to be heard. They are waiting for someone to simply hear their story. Stories are powerful. And we begin by listening to their joys and their sorrows, their pain, their suffering, the questions they have. It begins by listening with a spiritual ear. And as we listen, we pray and we ask God, what is it you would like us to hear? How shall we respond? Telling our story begins with listening to their story. And sometimes we need to invite them to share a story. Just tell me, how's it going? Tell me what it's like to go through, you're retired now. What do you do with your time? How has that adjustment been for you? Or tell me the story of how you came to faith in Jesus. Or tell me, how is it going with you and the Lord? What have you read in your devotional time? We need to invite others to tell their story. Just as the Father and the Son said, Father, what do these stones mean? We need to be able to talk to one another and tell me your story. I would love to hear about your baptism. Tell me what that meant to you. Stories are powerful. And we need to invite others to tell their story. But sometimes we need to just jump in and say, I've got a story to tell you. Right? You need to hear about the time the hot air balloon that I was riding in crashed into a tree. It's just too good of a story not to tell. If you've ever been to a gathering with Marvin and Norma Fish, you know that they love to tell stories. Everything in life became a story, and it was a good time. And we connected well over those stories. But sometimes when we're together, a good way for us to get started sharing our faith is to say, let me tell you a story. Recently, Sandy and I were having lunch with a young couple, and we began to talk about the topic of depression. And Sandy turned and said, you need to hear Gary's story. And that opened the door. Opened the door for us to begin sharing the struggles we had and the challenges Sandy had to care for things on the farm and care for me. I could speak of the shame I felt. I could speak of all the struggles that we went through. But then I could point to God and look what God has done from that story. See, that's the gathering of the stones from the middle of the river. You know, I tell this funny story about David filling water glasses, but I need to tell the story of another time in my life when I was at a crossroads. I knew where God was calling me to, but there seemed to be no way. I was up against a block wall, and I'd been praying to God. Show me a way. There seems to be a way. About that time, I got a letter from David. Straight, direct, to the point. The Lord led me to write this, to share this with you. And he wrote out the words to the song, God will make a way. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Powerful. A moment when I was weak. A moment in which God spoke to David and offered me a word of encouragement. The very word that I needed to hear. See, we need to tell the stories of our weakness and the stories of our struggles. We begin by listening to others, inviting them to tell their story, and then jumping in with our story. For see, when we listen and when we connect, we can begin to speak of God's story and help those around us connect their story to God's story. I believe when we do this, the church is strengthened and the mission of the church goes on forward. We've got to tell the story. So, here's what I want us to do today. You know, Pastor Eric isn't here, right? I didn't ask him if I could do this, but I think it'll be okay. So in a few weeks, you're going to have your Blast Sunday, and you're going to kick off this fantastic year of spiritual growth and reaching to your neighbors. I want you to take the next few weeks, and I want you to begin today to practice telling your stories. Because I believe when the church begins to tell their stories to each other, and then they are able to tell stories to their neighbors, I believe that church will grow. I think God will honor the telling of the stories, the witness and the worship that goes into that. So today, over lunch, I want you to take some time. Invite someone. Tell me your story. Or else be bold enough, hey, I've got a story to tell. Do you mind if I tell my story? Sharing your faith will become natural. It will become second nature. And God will be honored and glorified. You've got a story to tell. Tell your story for God's glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Will the ushers come forward, please?
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, use these offerings to bless others, and may they learn of your faithfulness and be strengthened by it. Use each of us daily to spread your light and love. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 296. We have a story to tell to the nations. After the spoken benediction, we'll conclude with the benediction in song number 286, verse 1, blessed be the ties that bind.
May God, in his grace and mercy, give you the courage to tell your story. May he give you courage to speak of low moments, courage to point to Jesus. Go in his grace and in his peace. Amen.